Good morning. Well, once you show up here, you're not going to hear anything that's unnecessary. So here in this room, you're not going to hear anything about anything that needs to be fixed. So you're not going to hear anything about an I that needs to be dissolved, or an ego that needs to be done away with, or a psychology that somehow needs to be rectified, or meritorious actions that need to be undertaken, or bad conduct that needs to be eradicated. You're not going to hear about any of that. Because that which is inclusive of everything doesn't have anything that needs to be done to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing at all that needs to be done. Nothing whatsoever that needs to be done to basic space. Basic space is basic space and nothing else. And even if you've taken yourself to be just a dimension of basic space, what does that really say about you? Only the one that knows itself as basic space could know itself as a dimension of basic space. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see, this great reality of who we are is utterly simple. It's stripped naked in every moment because it's never been adorned by anything. It's never been adorned by anything at all. All of the dynamic energy of aware basic space is basic space and nothing else. So, you know, just for a moment, imagine that you don't exist. Just imagine that you don't exist. If you're going to imagine something, imagine that. Imagine that you don't exist as this dimensional form. And what is there? Only space. What's right here? Only basic space. Only a wholly positive basic space and nothing else. So you see, it's very easy for us to imagine ourselves not to exist. It's very, very easy for us to do that. But now try to imagine that there is no space. There is no basic space. It's impossible to imagine that basic space does not exist. It's totally impossible. There's just no way to approach it from any angle. There's no way to intellectually try to make it happen, no way to psychologically try to make it happen. There's no shape-shifting that can occur to say that basic space does not exist. It's absolutely impossible. Or, you know, we can just look at all of this. This is what we are, the vast expanse of wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware and nothing else. So if you feel constricted to some kind of dimensional form, just allow your awareness to blend with the vastness of everything that is. And as that, realize that that's all you are. That that's all you are. You've never been constrained or constricted or wrapped up inside anything called a thought or an emotional state or a bodily form or anything else. So, you know, that's the starting point. As I say, begin with the end of mind. Mind is just a point of view within that pure view of the vast expanse, just like any other point of view. And all these points of view, all this dynamic energy of aware basic space is that space and nothing else. So all the points of view, or the dimensionality, if you will, in that which never is known dimension, is the luster of that space. It's inseparable from that space, just like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. And there's no way to trick ourselves into the realization of that. Why would we need to trick ourselves into it in any way? Why would we need to do anything like stabilize or make fully evident that which is already fully evident? Why would we need to engage in a dimension of that space to prove that that basic space exists or get in touch with it? You see, so the more doing we involve ourselves in, for example, shaping our conduct in a certain way, twisting our body into certain shapes, meditation, all of these things, they are just more and more a detour away from who we are. If we think we need to do anything to be who we are, then it's very likely we'll spend most of our lives on that detour of whatever it is, the meditation. You know, not that there's anything wrong with any of these things, as Seinfeld would say. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But unless we're resting naturally as the essence of that perception of meditation or puja making or whatever it is, unless we're completely absorbed as the essence of awareness that is the basic space of whatever that activity is, then it's all for naught. It's just more point of view. It's an anomaly of the matrix, but it's still the matrix of taking everything to be something. It's impossible to take wholly positive basic space to be anything. So, you know, no matter what it is that appears, it all appears within the basic space of our own awareness. And it all appears as a dimension of that space and nothing else, as the dynamic energy of that space and nothing else. And its appearance is like a mirage. It has a vivid appearance that cannot be denied. So we can't say definitively and conclusively that it absolutely doesn't exist. It has a vivid appearance, yet it's nothing whatsoever other than basic space, other than awareness. So if we adopt an extreme and say, oh, it doesn't exist, or nothing ever happened, or take an extreme like that, then all we have is an extreme. All we have is another point of view. But, you know, no matter what the elements of a mirage are, no matter what we can identify them to be, they're all equal in being a mirage. They're an appearance of pure space and nothing else. No matter how much we tried to make a mirage into something, we could tackle it, get a chokehold on it. It would be nothing but pure space. And so, too, you know, any idea we have about ourselves is the same. So, you know, as I have said over and over again to people, there's no way for us to ever realize who we are other than to just rest naturally. Rest naturally is this essence of basic space and nothing else. And to place ourselves in circumstances where that rest becomes more and more evident. So, you know, If you're new here, if you just keep coming back here for a while, conviction will dawn. It will become more and more evident to you that you are who you are. But there will never be a way to meditate yourself into it or form different yoga postures that'll make you arrive at that, or anything else. Or, you know, you can be a good person every single second for the rest of your life, which would never happen, by the way. So you might as well give up that one. Because, you know, who would be having the definition of good? No matter how good you took yourself to be, there would be countless others who still saw you as the devil or whatever. So we can prove this in many, many ways. We can never reach agreement about what good is, because good doesn't have an essence of its own other than awareness. So why not go to the root? Why not go to the root of everything? Awareness, awareness, awareness. No experience is without awareness. There's no experiencing without awareness. So why not take it to what is constant about us? Keep it as that. Rest naturally, rest freely, rest totally liberated as the great reality that's already complete in itself, that's already perfect, that's already entirely free, that never needed to be contrived or conjured up in any way. So, you know, what's been true throughout time is that wherever many, many people have awakened at once, like hundreds of thousands of people have awakened at once, it's always been through this key point this key point of natural rest, to devour the essence of awareness that is in each perception into the infinite vastness of one's basic space. So that what that means in a practical way, that no matter what perception arises, just rest naturally as the essence of awareness that is the root of that perception. And the more that you do so without regard for your assessments of all the different perceptions as either positive, negative, or neutral, the more you just simply rest naturally as the essence of awareness that is the totality of the basic space of that perception, the more obvious it becomes to you that there is only basic space and nothing else. So this absorption as basic space is already evident. It's already accomplished. It's already naturally occurring. And it's never been any way other than that. It's never been any way other than that. So, you know, if we wanted to just know what that is, well, you know, how about right here? What's going on right here? Are there a lot of thoughts or about the future, the past, or even the present? Even now doesn't exist. By the time we say now, it's the past. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see, we don't need to take up any extreme whatsoever. Just in utter relaxation and total rest, we know the natural reality of our own being. And, I would be very unkind if I described it in any way other than that. So, you know, there's nothing about you that needs to be fixed, and there never has been. It's as simple as that, huh?
How to rest naturally? Is it physically resting and mentally resting? How is that? How do you see that?
It's to rest naturally without seeking anything, to rest naturally without describing anything, to rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. So not to try to contrive something, but as each perception arises, to just rest as the basic awareness, the naked awareness that is the essence of that perception, no matter what its label or vivid appearance is. And when that is repeated for short moments many times, the moments grow longer and longer. The moments of recognizing oneself, of realizing oneself to be this vast basic space grow longer and longer. But you see, that can't be contrived in any way. If we sit down in a meditative pose and try to get into that space of holy positive basic space, we can't do it. Because the perceptions, whatever they are, countless and ceaseless, no matter what they are. Even if we have a perception or a point of view like a non-conceptual state or no thought or no self, those are still points of view. They're not awakening. They're not enlightenment. Those are still points of view. So even when those really sublime points of view come up, no thought, no self, whatever they might be, bliss, clarity, we don't need to adopt any description of who we are. So even if we meditate to rest naturally as whatever occurs in that space of meditation, meditation is a point of view, and every point of view that occurs while meditating is a point of view.
As a meditation, you could just sit in a chair or sit in a certain pose and then in that only relax.
Just relax.
And make the gaps larger between the thoughts.
Well, the thought that you see, there is no awakening separate from the thoughts. Whatever the perceptions are, whether it's a thought or the gap between the thoughts, you see, the gap between the thoughts is also a thought. Or a point of view.
Isn't that an experience? That there is just a moment, more openness to everything.
That would be one way to describe it. But total freedom is freedom as every perception, whether it's a thought or a gap between the thoughts. So when you rest naturally as the vivid wakefulness of total awareness that is the essence of a point of view that arises. Say you have the point of view of meditation that arises, and you just rest naturally as the essence of awareness that is the root of that experience. There is no experiencing meditation without awareness. So in resting as that awareness, it's realized that this point of view of meditation is the dynamic energy of that awareness only. And then if there's a space in between or an interval in between, that's also realized to be the essence of awareness. And then the next thought, so to speak, that arises, no matter what you might call it, it's a point of view. It's a point of view. So here we just simplify it by saying there's only the basic space of awareness, and its dynamic energy includes all points of view, no matter what they are. No matter what the dictionary label is, that's the dynamic energy of awareness. But it's always awareness and nothing else. So to rest naturally is to rest naturally as the essence of awareness that is the underlying basis of every single perception. Every single perception is nothing else other than the basic space of that awareness. And that complete freedom can only be known through resting naturally as the immediacy of every perception. There's no state we're trying to get into.
Just be.
The ground of being is awareness, is wholly positive basic space.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same as staying in the here and now?
No.
It's difficult to really get this far.
Yes, it is, and that's why I'm suggesting that you keep coming here, and then it will naturally dawn. You see, you can't think your way into it or understand it. It's impossible. But if you keep showing up here, and there are many people in this room who will attest to this, who you're hearing this for the first time, to keep coming here and conviction will dawn. Well, there are many other people here who heard that for the first time too, and then they kept coming back and then conviction dawned. But we can't think our way into it. We can't think our way into it. There are even people who come here who don't speak English and conviction dawns. So it's really not about the words that are being said so much as the underlying basis. Do you see what I mean? It's so clearly evident here that we are who we are. And when we arrive at this place of total sublime rest, where we just more and more every day realize that's what's true about ourselves, then it's impossible to even imagine that there was anything other than that. The other night I was trying to imagine what it was like when I took myself to be somebody, you know, when I thought I was a subject who was looking at all these objects, and that all these objects somehow revolved around me as a subject. In other words, a life based on total self-centered fear. All these imaginings of self-centered fear. I couldn't even imagine it, you know, even though I lived for decades taking myself to be a subject. I couldn't imagine it. There was no way I could even, because, you know, it's impossible. It takes so much effort to try to make ourselves into something, because we never can make ourselves into anything. That's why it's such a desperate act. We never can make ourselves into anything. We're always wholly positive basic space and nothing else. You know, so it's just, well, say we take something like the story of Shakyamuni Buddha, and, you know, we're studying Buddhism or whatever it is. Well, the real message of Shakyamuni Buddha is that he wanted everyone to imagine that they were him. were him as aware basic space. That's all he wanted. And that was his direct message to everyone. So he wasn't saying, oh, imagine me as a little statue and pray to me and light candles and put flowers around me and that kind of thing. He said, realize yourself as basic space, as the basic space of awareness, nirvana, dharmakaya, or even what is beyond all those descriptions. So, you know, when he had great courage, the kind, and he wanted everyone to follow the example of his own courage. And his own courage was that he took himself to be someone. He took himself to be a prince, and his father was a king. And then, you know, he grew up and he got married and had a child, and he was surrounded by jewels and fine clothes and a palace and all these other things. And so he was hanging out there, living that way for a while, and then he decided, well, you know, this isn't where it's at. You know, there's something missing here. So I'm going to find out what that is. So, you know, he left the palace, he left his wife, he left his child, and he started walking away. And while he was on walking away from the palace, he saw a big pile of dead convicts, and they were all dressed in saffron. And so he took some of their robes and put them on, and he wandered on, wandered away. Well, part of his story that's rarely ever told is that he then had a succession of three gurus. So he went to three different gurus, and every time he went to one of these gurus, he would realize whatever they had realized. And then he would say to himself, well, I've realized what my guru has realized, but I know there's something more. So he continued on, and then he sat for a while, and some people gathered around him, and they'd all realize something together. And then at one point he said to them, well, there's even more than this. So then they all left, all his disciples left him, because he said, no, you know, this isn't it either. So then he decided he was just going to sit there until he realized what was true about himself. So he sat under the Bodhi tree, and then all his points of view were swirling around, positive, negative, and neutral. And no, you know, no matter what they were, he wouldn't get caught up in any of them. He'd just stay in this natural rest that he had found to be the essence of his being. And as he rested more and more as that, he had more and more freedom. The less he allowed himself to get all wrapped up in the story of all the points of view arising, the more freedom he felt. And then suddenly that's all he felt. He had realized the holy positive basic space of his very own awareness. Awareness that is vast as infinite space and includes everything. But he didn't stop there in that absorption. He did not stop there. He said, now, and this is a very, very key point about waking up. He didn't say, oh, I'm free of all my mental concepts, so now I'll just go back to my palace or do whatever I want. He didn't say, you know, he thought, no, this isn't it either. I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to keep sitting under this Bodhi tree until I know how to describe the essence of everything to everyone. Because he said to himself, I know that what I've realized about myself can be communicated to other people, so I'm going to sit here until I know how to communicate that to other people. And that's what he did. Some accounts say it was for 2 weeks, others say it was for 6 years. Who knows? But, you know, he sat there until a definitive message of freedom came forth from his enlightened body, speech, and mind. So you see, this is the distinction between freedom from mental concepts and the freedom of Buddha that is already the case for everyone in this room. When we rest naturally as the basic space of awareness, then not only do we have freedom from mental concepts, but we realize more and more an immense power and force of contribution to the whole that arises naturally as the essence of our own being. So, you know, the story of Shakyamuni Buddha is very important, and this is also the teaching that he communicated to everyone, that you already are entirely free of mental concepts. And not only are you entirely free of mental concepts, but your true body, speech, and mind are filled to overflowing with exalted activities that contribute benefit. So these two are inseparable, complete enlightenment and complete benefit. And, you know, he proved what he knew to be so in his all-knowingness by just sitting there until all of these sutras and tantras started pouring out. So, you know, for him, that was his expression of complete benefit. For each one of us, we have our own expression of complete benefit. When Buddha said, form is emptiness and emptiness is form, of course that's a translation into English, but another way of saying that is that holy positive basic space is point of view, and point of view is holy positive basic space. There's only basic space and nothing else. Are there any questions? Did you have something more?
Not at this point. Mm-hmm.
Buddhahood is already accomplished. Everyone's already Buddhified.
Bye.
Yeah, that's it. It's absolutely true. But, you know, yesterday I was saying to Raj, well, why not take it all the way? You know, this freedom from mental concepts, that's really sweet, and there are lots of books written about that, but why not take it all the way? Why not take it all the way? Just like Buddha said, everyone is Buddha. Everyone is Buddha, and that includes the exalted activities of contribution of Buddhahood too. So why not have just an incredible life filled with one adventure after another? One adventure after another that flows directly from omniscience, the omniscience of holy positive basic space, rather than taking oneself to be someone who is free of mental concepts. Well, I'm definitely not an expert on Buddhism, so you know that IST that's at the end of different things, like Buddhist or an is this and an is that. The message of Shakyamuni Buddha was very, very simple. It just simply is that everyone is Buddha nature. And all, the Sanskrit word Buddha only means awakened, awakened awareness, that's all. So when Buddha was called a Buddha, it just meant that he was awakened, that's all. It wasn't an icon as it's grown to be today. It was just a description of who he is, just like awakened awareness is a description of who we are. So all of these other notions of what Buddhism is, who knows what Buddha really said? I just like to condense it down to what I know Buddha was saying, rather than, you know, there are countless forms of Buddhism today, but the true message of Buddhism is summed up in emptiness is form and form is emptiness. It's completely summed up in that. That's all that need be said. So, you know, the moment we take anything to be something like a bodhisattva or countless lifetimes or whatever it is, then we're starting to weave this complicated story about what's going on. And the more we weave a complicated story, the more difficult it is to ever imagine ourselves being totally free. Because we're all wrapped up in a story of being a first stage bodhisattva or a 10th stage or 18th stage or whatever it is. But why not start with the end of all bodhisattvas? You know, why not start with the realization that the point of view bodhisattva is just an emanation of awareness, and the point of view bodhisattva is equal to any other point of view in being wholly positive basic space. It's equal to the cow or the dog or the internet or, you know, whatever the point of view is. All points of view are equal. Either all points of view are equal as an entirely and wholly positive basic space, or there is duality. Yeah. So you see, this wholly positive basic space, it includes duality, but duality does not include wholly positive basic space. So you see, who we are is totally simple, and that's really all we talk about here. And like I said, just come here and more you'll realize you've never been anything other than this. So there really isn't anything to do. The rest that is present in this room is all that resting naturally is. And the rest that is so decisively experienced here is your reality no matter where you are. It's not circumstance dependent. If you don't speak English or you speak just a tiny bit of English, don't even worry about it. Just keep coming back and more and more it'll just be totally obvious. Whatever language is used to describe basic space, it's still basic space. So, you know, the palpable reality of that, it's just so evident. It just can't be ignored. It's so overt that it can't be missed. It's never been hidden or obscured in any way. It's just that, you know, that all we hear is something else talked about, then sometimes we might take ourselves to be something other than that. But once we hear about who we really are, definitively and conclusively, then boom, 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 it's just more and more obvious. Have you ever seen those coin sorters in a bank, and it sorts the coins into all the different denominations? Click, 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 click. Well, that's what coming here is. It's like click, 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 click. Holy positive basic space, of course, that's who I am. Entirely aware as complete purity in the moment, the complete purity of total openness and spaciousness of every perception. The supreme moment, the moment that is no moment.
What is it we do that we separate ourselves from that?
We never separate ourselves from that. All we ever are is self-knowing awareness, and we either recognize ourselves as being self-knowing awareness or we don't. And the non-recognition comes about, so to speak, only through repeatedly hearing concepts from other people that say, oh, you are somebody. What's your name? What's your name? Jerome, saying, oh, you're Jerome, you're a little boy, you're our little darling, and here are your toys, Jerome. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes.
And here are your brothers and sisters, and I'm your mom and dad, and you're a separate somebody, and we're separate somebodies. And that's all. Very simple. So, but see, even though all of those points of view are swirling around, it doesn't mean that they ever are anything other than basic space. So you see, we can't really think our way into this. But at the same time, no matter where we turn, there isn't anything other than awareness. And it's our own awareness that is the root of every experience. For example, the natural presence of our bodies. There would be no natural presence of our body without awareness. We're aware of being naturally present, aware of being naturally present. So awareness is the root of the perception of being naturally present. And we very rarely even have that perception, awareness of being naturally present.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do, what I'm doing, what I really think it's very beneficial for me, is I'm walking with every step I do. I see where I put my feet and feel it, and then it feels much closer. I feel more connected to everything than just rushing through.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me. Is it the same as getting in tune with the natural rest?
No. Place the foot of your awareness in each perception. That's natural rest. You understand, I can tell. It's very easy. I make people laugh. Raj.
What are some synonyms for the point of view?
Thought, emotions, sensations, actions, people, places, things, anything that can be conceived or perceived, and anything that, as well, that's non-conceptual. But if we just call it point of view and say, well, okay, all the words in the dictionary, they're all points of view. What could be, that's just so simple. That's so simple. And then, you know how in the dictionary there are all the different meanings for each word? Well, there's a meaning that could be added to each one of those words, awareness. The awareness of those is the root of each of those labels. The label would not be evident without the awareness that is the root of it. And so another way to think about this is just to imagine vast, pure space. Imagine yourself as that, and then you'll arrive at the totality of who you really are. And then out of that space, fashion all the letters of the alphabet and make them into all the words in the dictionary. Well, they're all still pure space. They're all still pure space. If you fashion pure space out of pure space, what do you get? Pure space. So you see, who we are is completely simple, completely, totally simple.
If I'm past pure space, then it seems like I shouldn't have the perspective of being in a body, that I should be, my point of view, like right now, I'm looking out of these eyes and you're in the distance, you're not, I'm not looking through your eyes at me. Like if I'm space, it feels like I should be free of that point of view also, that I'm this body looking outward.
When you rest naturally as awareness, less and less will you be that body looking outward, and more will you experience yourself definitively and conclusively as vast awareness only.
Will the point of view change from me sitting here looking at outward to another point of view, like say over there?
No. Read my lips. Holy, positive, basic space. That description, even though it may not mean a thing to you right now, will grow more and more in sublime meaning. That is your identity, holy, positive, basic space. It has no point from which to view, not your eyes, and not something out there like Google Earth, you know, looking at everything. This is why awareness is key. To rest naturally as awareness is pivotal, because it's only in that natural rest as awareness that all of these points of view of who one has taken oneself to be just dissolve in basic space more and more without anything else needing to be done. But the moment that there's that natural rest and then there's intellectual speculation about it, like, oh, I'm looking through my eyes, she's over there, or should I be looking like I'm a satellite or looking at it, all of this of space or whatever. See, all of these are just adoptions of another point of view about what awareness is. But the more we just rest naturally as awareness, the more we just very easily, effortlessly, freely, naturally realize ourselves to be basic space and nothing else. So, you know, this is definitely for people who don't need any concepts. If you're just sick and tired of all the concepts and trying to figure it out and intellectually speculate about it, attribute characteristics to it and all of that, then you're in the right place. You don't want to read another book or go to another meeting where you're told you have to be this or that or you know, evolve into enlightenment or devolve out a point of view or whatever it is. Or that you have a pain body that needs to be gotten rid of, or an ego, or any of this. You know, if you're just totally done with all of it, totally done with gurus and standing on your head and coming to India and everything else. But if you're not fed up with that and you want to go out and do some more research on point of view, go right ahead. If you want to have your misery refunded, get out of here. You know, the great reality is so kind. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, isn't that what we've heard? Isn't that what we've heard, that we are who we are, and it's perfectly obvious and evident? Well, yeah.
I want to ask, how did you get to find your natural rest?
How did I get to find my natural rest? Through resting naturally, without having any goal. Because I was just, you know, all wrapped up in all my points of view. At the same time, like all of us, I knew that I really wasn't that, but I didn't really know how to do anything about it. I felt there was some kind of ultimate reality, but I didn't know that that could become fully evident as my lived experience. I was born in the West and had all my Western points of view and success, accomplishment, self-esteem, all those other good Western points of view. And no matter how much I tried to shape myself into somebody, I was shapeless. I could never arrive at any satisfaction or fulfillment based on shaping myself into something. So 24 years ago, I just got to the end of all that. You know, none of it worked, and I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to solve the dilemma of all my points of view. And I noticed that as the years went by, I just had more and more points of view. So there was never any way to put them to bed, so to speak. No matter how much I'd try to put them to rest, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't fix them in any way. No matter what I tried, it wouldn't fix them. Psychology, philosophy, intellectualizing, being a good person, drinking martinis, you know, whatever else, you know. No matter what it was, I still had more and more points of view. And I just couldn't relate to living the rest of my life like that. So I reached a point where I was just inundated by all these points of view. And in that, the hopelessness of that, I realized that they all had the same underlying basis. And I didn't even know what to call that. They all had the same source. And I just knew that when I rested as that source, I found the relief in the perception, whatever it was. Just complete relief. I didn't have a goal, like permanent relief or anything else. But after rigorously resting, so to speak, as each perception for 10 days, then I didn't need to try to rest anymore.
What did you do for 10 days?
Just resting naturally when each perception arose.
Yes.
As the underlying basis, the essence of that. Yeah. And then after 10 days, I just didn't need to do so anymore. So you see, I didn't know anything about enlightenment. In fact, when I woke up, I didn't even know I was enlightened. So I didn't have any label to describe it. I just knew that the natural state of being human was what I had finally realized about myself, and that I'd always been that. It wasn't something new. I just hadn't known how to look at myself, that's all. State of shock? Oh no, it was, oh. All I could say was, wow. Wow. I must have said that about 1,000 times in 24 hours. Wow, wow. That's who I took myself to be, wow. But then later I learned that this is what's called enlightenment. But you see, you don't even have to know anything about enlightenment. This is why I'm so sure that nothing is required. Through my own direct experience, I never did anything. I never meditated. I never did pujas, or I tried to be a good person, but it only made me feel worse. The more I tried to be a good person, the worse I felt about myself. Has anyone here had a similar experience? You see, all virtue is already naturally present, but it's naturally present and naturally occurring as the vast reality of basic space and nothing else. It can't be contrived in any way. The moment we try to contrive it, we take up a point of view and we take ourselves to be a point of view. But when we rest naturally and freely in a totally uncontrived way, all of a sudden we realize we've always been wise, we've always been compassionate, that it's a natural warmth of our being.
Like a baby.
Like a baby. Like that baby right there, baby Jerome.
Soda.
Soda. I like you, Jerome.
In this understanding that the resting naturalness, where you call it in your words, is the way to understand the awareness that is surrounded and is actually the stuff we're made of. Are you finding ways to help that in a group or in things, you know, just like people getting together and trying to experience in a more easier way that natural rest that otherwise out there doesn't occur so easily? So do you find or it helpful, or are you planning or doing actually experiments with people where they can feel more at ease in an environment, in a space where it easily can occur, this expansion of natural
rest? Mm-hmm. Right here. Right here. And then all of the groups, well, we call this the Great Freedom Teaching, Great Freedom. Just all of these groups, the more you keep showing up in these groups, the more it'll just dawn on you that you are who you are. It's as easy as that. But there's nothing special to do. You can come here and sit in a chair. You can come here and dance like a whirling dervish, or you can come here and do whatever you want to do. But you are who you are no matter what. Would anyone who's been coming here for a while like to describe how that's been for you, rather than everyone just listening to me talk about it? How that's naturally dawned in you. Come on now. Come on.
Okay, in October we came to the Great Freedom Teaching first time, and and then we right away did the 12 inquiries, and I can say after that I knew I will not be a psychologist anymore. I will not. All the things I thought I was a psychologist, I was this person, nice and sometimes shy, sometimes this and that, and everything, all my concepts I thought about myself was like dropping away. Being psychologist dropped away, so there was so that great freedom we were looking for. I wanted to come to India, I wanted to find freedom and happiness. I thought, where do I find that? And I found that in this great freedom teaching, in that I rest with all perceptions, nothing I don't have to meditate anymore. That was also very nice. Vipassana 10 hours a day. Like that, it was like free. I knew I rest with everything. I don't have to try to get a state or something. I don't have to be someone for anybody. So that all dropped away. It was the time when I suddenly saw, oh, Kati is also my name. Me is also a point of view. I had to laugh all the time. It was very funny. Then I had to laugh, and then everything dropped away. So, yeah, that was, it's a great relief. And then I can now see that I'm at rest most of the time, all days, and I can exactly see when I go in a point of view. Then I think, oh, what is that? Okay. And then I go to rest. It's so obvious then. So, and also, I just the last days I tried to remind myself, how was it to be someone? That was very interesting, that I could hardly imagine how I was before. How I lived that life as a person with all the things I took myself to be, and how I should be, and how should I relate to people, how should I build up my life, and all that, how it should look like. It was hard to imagine, so I'm here, that all, so that is very wonderful. Everything changes, but also it's like nothing changed, and all the relationship changed to everyone in the family, to my husband, everything is like, yeah, it's everything's so smooth, and I cannot describe actually. I'm happy, I love, oh, that's also nice, I love everyone. It is also, I'm married now, okay, I love him and I love all of them. So that is awesome, very nice, yeah. I just wanted to say something more, but yes, it is a great happiness. Mm-hmm. This night I had also a dream. A big hall, we had a thousand of people, and we did great freedom. And then I said to all people, it's the ultimate psychotherapy. I said to all people, this is the ultimate psychotherapy. We had so many people. I don't know how we did it, but yeah, somehow we did that.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you. Would someone else like to share?
Before it was the Great Freedom Teaching, almost 3 years ago. And I had been seeking in a way that I didn't necessarily consider spiritual, but I had been seeking through being good, through food, through drugs and alcohol, through irresponsibility, lack of accountability. And I mostly just wanted to check out, you know, everything I did, I didn't want to be here. And I felt like life was such an effort. And I shared a little of this in some of the groups, but I had been gone from one school to another, been kicked out of one school, gone to another, was in therapy when I was 15 until I was 38. And when I came to Canvas, I just knew I knew there was something that I had been seeking. And I had been very, very lucky because I had had just about every experience that one can have to think, ah, this is it. I was raised with a lot of money. I renounced the money. I thought, oh, if I'm really thin, then I'll be free. Well, I was really thin and I wasn't free. I thought, if I can have this relationship, I'll be free. Well, I had the relationship, I wasn't free. If I get married, have children, you know, all of those things that I thought would make me whole and complete, I have had the incredible opportunity to participate in everything and realize, oh wow, that isn't it. So when I met Candace, I didn't realize how ready I was to just let it all be as it was. And I was ready to, again, just say, okay, in order to be free, I need to leave my family, I need to let go of these friends, I need to not participate in this sort of thing, this, that, and the other thing. And what Candace said to me was, well, if you would like to work with me, then you will need to show up fully in all of your commitments, because commitment equals freedom. And find a teacher that you resonate with, and then commit to that teacher. Commit, because in that way, within that relationship, there's no way to hide from anything. There's no way to perpetuate points of view, because everything is seen as it is. So I did that. I committed within my relationships, I committed within the teaching, and slowly, slowly, realizations. But you know, mostly it's been very, very subtle and gradual. And even I notice changes occasionally where a circumstance will come up and I realize that I'm relating totally differently than I ever did before. And I don't have the, you know, I used to have a lot of no-go areas, a lot of them. Like, if someone was sitting behind me and their foot was tapping my chair, I would just go crazy, you know? Or if anybody wanted something from me, stated or unstated, I just go completely into turmoil. And these are just little things. I mean, the list is endless. It's so easy. And the thing that was very helpful, I came fairly unencumbered with concepts, but I had a few concepts. And what Candace said about this is for people who don't need any concepts, that is the greatest gift you can give yourself. That is the greatest gift I gave myself, is just letting go of everything I thought I knew. Because I always thought that in order to be someone, I had to be intelligent, well-spoken, know what's going on, be able to address any situation. And being unencumbered by that, by a personality. You know, I always, having no personality was the worst thing I could have ever thought of before, and now it's just the greatest relief. So, to just let all that go, all the ideas. And I've seen, because I've been here from the beginning, I know everyone who's come to the teaching. I've seen everyone come in and those who really, really just settle in right away are the ones who either don't really have any concepts when they get here or are willing to just let it all be as it is.
Thanks, Ellie. Simon, would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Simon. I guess that I've been seeking before I came here in one way or another for maybe 10 years in different forms, meditations and reading books and all that sort of stuff. And so I came to Rishikesh because I was going to do some yoga, and then I was going to go down south and see a guru down there. And as it turned out, I was in a restaurant, and Kay has left, actually. She left. And Kay was in there, and I wouldn't normally just randomly speak to somebody, but for some reason I just started speaking to Kay. And she told me about Candace, and she said, oh, why don't you come to our meeting the next day? And I said, oh, okay. I'm kind of keen to do my yoga, but I'll come along. And I walked in the door, and I sat down, and then I went away, and I met my friend that night, and he said, oh, what's this Candace woman like? And I said, oh, she's really good. And then the next day, I turned up again, and then I realized that I'd met my teacher, you know, like Candace just sort of opened her mouth, and I went, wow. This is it. I don't have to go and do my yoga, and I don't have to wear stupid clothes, and I don't have to paint stuff on my forehead. Or, not that there's anything wrong with that, I'm just saying. I was going to go and sit at the feet of this guru for, you know, however many weeks and meditate for 20 hours a day and stuff. And so that was a big relief. And so then I did the 12 inquiries, and we finished about 3 days ago. And it's really like Candace says, you know, you just kind of just have to turn up. Because it doesn't, I couldn't really explain how it works, but the person that I was when I first started the inquiries is not the same person that I am now. Like, I'm just completely more solid in myself and relaxed, you know, like I'm not afraid of anything anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I can't think of something that could scare me anymore. And I'm not even really worried about whether I'm going to become, you know, this, because like before I was like, oh, I want to become this great spiritual teacher, and I'm going to have, you know, when I'm older or whatever. And now I'm not even really worried about that, you know, I'm just sort of here. And it's just sort of happening by itself, and I completely know that it's just going to work out the way that it's meant to work out. And it's just that deep-seated trust and faith and knowledge that it's all working the way that it's meant to. And so, yeah, I feel great.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. Jerome?
I was wondering, the speaker you've been talking just now, it's continuously to open up further all the time, like never stops.
Never stops. No destination.
Same with you.
Even if you lived, say you lived for 400 trillion years as a human being, as an omnisciently liberated human being, there would never be any conclusion to the magnificence of holy positive basic space. It's not a destination. There's no place to arrive and no one to arrive there. That's one of the most often asked questions. Simply, it's called holy positive simply because it's never been anything else. It's never been anything else other than holy positive basic space. Look at it this way. Every point of view, no matter what it is, already knows itself as awareness only. Every single point of view, no matter what it is, has the power of total recall about itself as awareness only. So in that sense, everything is wholly positive.
It just gives them a mind of
it's positive, must be the concept too, because then there is a negative and it's positive, so it's something like an affirmation. It comes to me, you know, in my brain, that way of saying so. Because the tendency is to be positive or whatever, so negation to be positive, like the American style, be positive, so pushes to me a lot of my acceptance. So it gives a little...
Sure, I know what you're saying. Yes, wholly positive basic space, it's never known the negative. So the emphasis in the Great Freedom Teaching is that all points of view, no matter whether we've judged them to be positive, neutral, or negative, are all wholly positive basic space. And when we realize everything, no matter what it is, to be this wholly positive basic space, rather than it being an expression of immorality or license to do whatever you want, rather there is the upwelling of incredible compassion and wisdom, this reality of no more learning and of total omniscience that is true freedom. So you see, we can't figure any of that out from the world of opposites. If we're looking at everything from dualistic perception or the world of opposites, then we have to say, oh, one thing is good and the other thing's bad. This is a positive action, this is a negative action. And from dualism, it's impossible for us to conceive or perceive that in acknowledging everything to simply be as it is, one wholly positive basic space. From dualism, it's impossible to see that that could result in anything good. Because dualistic perception is always at war. There's always a war going on within ourselves and what we perceive in the outside world, inwardly and outwardly. There's just war. The war of all the perceptions that are based on opposites. But when we simply rest naturally as the essence of every perception, as the awareness that is the key of every perception, then more and more we just naturally realize that it is a wholly positive basic space. That's what we are, and we've never been anything else. But we can't do anything to trick ourselves into that experience. Do you see what I mean? Even if, say, we were a whirling dervish and we whirled around for 24 hours and we put ourselves into some incredible state of ecstasy and, oh, we felt so good, we've never felt any better than this totally sublime ecstasy, well, that would still be an experience. You see, that would still be a point of view. And we know that it's only a point of view because it would dissipate and go away, and then we'd have to whirl again. So, you see, we've never had to do anything to be who we are. We've never had to put ourselves in any kind of extreme circumstance or try to fix ourselves up and make ourselves into anything. If we try any of that, then we just accumulate more and more points of view about who we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? So rest is best. Rest is best. It's simple, very simple. Initially, it may not be easy, or it could be. For some people, they come here right away. And right away, within a few days, that's it. It's the end, you know. Everything comes to a complete stop. For others, it's more slowly, but that's okay. But, you know, I don't mean slowly as in decades of seeking, which might be the case for many people in this room. I mean slowly, like in a short while, a few months, or at the outside, a couple of years. So, you know, there's nothing to seek and no one to seek it. So when you come here, the search is over. The search is completely over. You wouldn't end up in this room otherwise. And you can go out there and keep seeking if you want to. Like I said, get a refund of your misery if you don't like the freedom you experience here. But go out there, give it a try again, do some more seeking, take a few more yoga courses, or meditate on a 3-month retreat or something like that. Keep trying. Or you can just relax.
I've got another question. What's the reason you came to India? I guess you're from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people there, too. So, so many seekers.
So many seekers. Mm-hmm. Well, I came here because there are serious seekers here. Serious seekers, not dilettante seekers. You know, dilettante seekers, do you know what the word dilettante means? You just sort of, oh, here's this book about awakening, I'll read this now, but then I'll forget all about it the rest of the time. But you see, here, people come here to spend a few months or to live here forever, and they're bound and determined they're going to realize who they are. So you see, within seeking, there are different qualities of seekers. Some seekers are really serious, they're full-out seekers, and other seekers are just dabbling in seeking. Well, the full-out seekers are right here. They come here. They're willing to take 3 months off work or even a month off work. They're willing to give up their ideas about who they are for a significant period of time. So, you know, it's easier for people who are totally committed to realize who they are. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Well, you know, it's a good question because I came here 2 years ago to India. It was my first teaching trip to India, and I just assumed that everyone who'd been coming to satsang for decades was totally free and awake and liberated in all their activities and contributing great service and benefit, magnificent, exalted activities of contribution to everyone. When I came here, then people started coming to satsang, and I could see that wasn't the case, and I, you know, that people had been coming for decades, and all that was accumulated were more points of view, and I found that totally intolerable, completely intolerable, especially when who we are is totally direct. I knew that to be so, and I'd seen the evidence of it in countless people. So then it just appeared that there was something missing. And all that's missing is this crisp message of reality, that's all. You know, when there's a message about reality that is so unrelenting that you're never going to hear anything else, no one's ever going to tell you there's anything about you that needs to be fixed, and that you'll be, if you keep showing up, you'll see that every perception is basic space. More and more you'll see that every perception is basic space and nothing else. There's never been anything you need to be. Most of the time, by the time someone arrives here, they're really tired of trying to be somebody. Even if it's being a somebody who's a meditator, or, you know, even a heavy-duty meditator, like 3-month retreats or 3-year retreats or whatever it is. This is just an undeterring message of timeless freedom and nothing else. The only one in which anyone has ever really awakened to total freedom. So So, you know, the throughout time, the message to rest naturally, freely as each perception is exactly the instruction that has liberated hundreds of thousands of people. Not just now, here, but also, you know, in the last century there was a teacher who gave exactly this teaching, but within a different context, and it's documented that over 100,000 people woke up. So you see that this is called the pinnacle teaching, the epitome teaching of liberation that has been handed down from one generation to the next. And it's very distinct in its languaging and speaking. We can read lots of things that are about a pristine reality of natural rest. In other words, we can hear a pristine reality of natural rest described, but there are very few instructions that actually open that up for us. And this is a huge distinction. We can read forever about a sublime reality of natural rest and never taste it. But we want to put ourselves in the place where we will taste it right away. Right away, where the flavor of it just becomes more and more robust in each instant.
It does have a flavor. It's like you can almost taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have so many questions in my head. But a friend of me, he opened up about 10 years ago, and he didn't know what happened to him. So he went into a psychosis state, and he was hospitalized after that. Is it necessary to have these strong legs to carry this, or the realized awareness?
The strongest legs you can have, so to speak, is just mutual support for what's occurring for you. In the Great Freedom Teaching, we call it the four comforts: the teacher, the teaching, the community, and resting naturally. So those are the strong legs you describe. You know, if you don't have any, like your friend, this occurred for him and there was no one there to support him except a psychiatric facility who just labeled him as being something. So you see, if he had had the four comforts, it would have been a much different situation for him. I definitely had the support of resting naturally. And then, you know, the teacher, the teaching, and the community was just whatever was there with me. But, you know, that's the way it was for me so that this could unfold. And when I woke up, there was another person with me, and he woke up too. So it was through this conversation that I had with him that we both became entirely free. So you see, I was never limited by what could happen. Do you see what I mean? This is the only thing I've ever known about the great reality, that it's totally accessible and that it's not constrained in any way. And then over the years I saw that through a similar kind of contact, that it was very easy for people to wake up. That there was no great spectacle required. You know, I'd travel around and I'd see, or I'd read about this one or that one, this guru or that guru, and the great spectacle here and the great spectacle there, and all the talk about awakening, but nobody waking up. And I just thought, well, why is that? You know, there's no spectacle necessary. the great spectacle is that the whole spectacle appears in our own awareness. That's the great spectacle. Why create a special spectacle to somehow try to point that out but never then really do it? So you see, we just need to get down to brass tacks with who we are. We are who we are. It can't be avoided. It's very direct, obvious, and overt. And when we support that in ourselves, it becomes more and more obvious. But two, you know, in 24 years, I've seen many lone rangers, the ones, oh, I'm going to realize it on my own. A teacher isn't necessary. Everything is the teacher. Well, I've never known a single person who really woke up that way. You know, why do it the hard way? Why do it the hard way? So easy.
What is the community issue, speaker? So you have the strong legs are the teacher?
The teaching, the community, which is just other people who are realizing the direct perception of awareness as well, you know, like everyone in this room. But it doesn't mean signing a contract or giving away your freedom or anything like that.
Well, probably we are 2 months or 1 month or 1 week, we are spread out all over the world again.
Yeah.
How does the community work?
Oh, how does the community work? Well, pardon?
It spreads too.
The community very tangibly is, in terms of its structures, is that we have open communication 24 hours a day. So anyone who needs support anywhere in the world, that support is available either through telephone or email. And we have structures built in so that all communications are responded to within 24 hours or sooner. And we not only have face-to-face teachings like this, but we also have teachings over a teleconferencing bridge. So, you know, it's using all of the state-of-the-art technology to really have available this community. You know, this is the way it's always been where many people have awakened. There's been a community of mutual support for awakening that uses the state-of-the-art technology, whatever it is that's available at that time. So, you know, in this time, these are the things that we have available to connect us all together. It's not mysterious. It's not. Do you use email? Do you use the telephone? Yeah, it's just as easy as that. You know, if we believe in all our points of view, then we're calling people on the phone and talking about all our points of view. And we're emailing about that too. Oh, I had a bad day, or oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Or where can I get a job? Or, you know, where can I buy a house? Look up realtor.com, I want to buy a house. You know, whatever it is. So this is just using those same technologies to support resting naturally as it becomes more and more obvious.
And are there other people then on the other side of the phone or email or on the internet that can help me, well, support me so I can, it's easier for me to make a decision?
A decision about?
About anything. You know, when I have a question about, you know, maybe a job or what shall I do now? I'm so miserable.
Yes. If you find yourself in that state, but if you keep coming here, you know, for a little while, you won't be finding misery anywhere. I've seen some very miserable people come in here. But after a while they say, well, you know, where is that misery that I was carting around? We'll sit quietly for a few minutes.